Hebrews chapter 11. Pastor Jim has been teaching on Hebrews, and we've kind of taken a breather from that, but I'm going to pick up here. He may not have. Did he finish 10? I don't even know if he did. I don't think we ever know if he finishes 10 or not. So let's look at Hebrews 11, and if he wants to bop back and forth, he can do that. On Thursday night, we talked about Romans. I'm not going to find Hebrews in this Bible, I think. On Thursday night, we talked about Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham and the faith of Abraham, and how Abraham had faith, and it was counted to him for righteousness. His faith was counted to him for righteousness. All right? Now, looking at Hebrews, I want to talk about, and I want to read through part of Hebrews because this is the recounting of the faith of the fathers, the faith of the fathers of our faith. And let's look at this for a minute, or at least pay attention to it. Hebrews chapter 1 is not what we want. Hebrews 11. Now, I want to talk about this just a little bit. I should stay here because you can't hear me if I don't stay here, I guess. I want to talk about a little bit one thing I discussed last week in one of the lessons. You know, when you're teaching everywhere, you're teaching all kinds of stuff. So you're in different places and different things, but they all come together, really. And looking at John chapter 16 the other day, I taught on that on Thursday morning, is talking about how Jesus began to prepare the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit and His departure. And it was most important for Jesus because He took basically the entire evening, evening at the dinner, beginning with becoming a servant, beginning with washing their feet. He began with that, and then He began to minister to them, and He led them through the Passover and through the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper today, and through the communion, through His body and His blood, of course, which He had mentioned early on in John, which in John 6 He said, "If you don't eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no part in Me." And at that time, said the Scripture said, many went back from following Him and did not follow Him any longer. I mean, that's a big one, you know. If you don't eat My flesh and drink My blood, you don't. People are like wigged out by that kind of thing. But the thing is that what He was talking about, he was shaking them up and making sure that they understood that this is not something that's just this is not a religious practice. This is something that is going to transform lives. And what He was talking about there in the 16th chapter of John, He began in the 15th and 16th chapters, began to talk about how the Holy Spirit is going to come. When I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and it's going to be different for you because you're not going to have Me standing and leading you day after day after day, but you're going to have the Spirit of God. We are spirit. What's a spirit? We don't know what a spirit is. And so He was going to send the Holy Spirit to live in them and to dwell in them. It wasn't going to be that Jesus was going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords yet. He wasn't going to be the King over all Israel outwardly yet. Though He was, as He told Pilate, He was a king. But My kingdom is what? Not of this world. You are His subjects. And guess what? You are His kingdom, and you are not of this world. Say it. I'm not of this world. If you don't like to say it, just think it. Is that I'm not of this world. See, and you have to meditate upon those things. You know, like the song we said today. Yeah, you're my meditation. You're my meditation. You know, not my trouble is not my meditation, but You are my meditation. The result of my trouble is not my meditation, but the source of my deliverance is my meditation. Amen? So you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Does it look like you're overcoming? Looks like you're in jail. Looks like you're bound by both hands. Looks like you've been beaten. Looks like you're still being beaten. Amen. But God said, you have been delivered. Do you believe that? Amen. Above and beyond your flesh peeling off your body? Amen. Above and beyond your disease that is on your body? Because you live in this world? God, thank You for healing. Thank you, Father, for healing. But even in the midst of a disease that is upon your body, rejoicing because this world is not my home. Even though because there is a circumstance and a situation where you are now learning how to be abased. I am learning how to be abased. I am learning how to have not quite enough. Is that in all of these things we are in, listen, in all of these things we are what? More than conquerors. That is so silly to say. In all of these things we are more than conquerors. It's apparent that you're not more than a conqueror because you're looking at the natural. Because you're looking at the world, you're not looking at God's promise, what He said, and that's the meditation that He said, this is going to make you joy. This is going to where you're going to walk in joy, is you're in your meditation of the fullness of His provision for you in everything. And that's what He talks about in Hebrews 11. That's what He talks about in John chapter 16. That's what He talks about in Romans chapter 4. If you want to write all four of those down, that's really what the Lord's been leading me through this week. If you're going to read all those, is John 16, is Romans 4, Abraham's faith, and Hebrews chapter 11, the faith of the fathers. All right? So, as we look at that, let's begin here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the assurance of things hoped for. It's what we have that has given us a rock upon which to build our life and our confidence. All right? But now faith is the substance. Faith, that's the substance, that's it. Faith is the substance, it's the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for out in the future. In other words, what do I have now to guarantee that? Faith. What do I have now to guarantee that what you said is coming to pass? Faith. I have the down payment. I have the earnest of the Spirit, which is the down payment. This is what I have. So that you, the promise that you have made is what I have, and I carry that with me, and that's my strength. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is evidence. Did you know that faith is actually evidence? It's evidentiary. It is actually admissible. That faith is evidence. How do you believe that? I don't know. I just do. How many know you do, the things that you do believe, they affect how you operate. Amen? Everything that you believe affects how you operate. If you believe that God's not enough, then you operate in fear. If you believe that God is enough, then you operate in faith. Even though, from time to time, or maybe lots of time, it appears that things are not going my way. I say they are going my way. Because I have a promise from God. That's what Abraham said in Romans 4. Romans 4. That's what Abraham was talking about in Romans 4, is that he had a promise from God. Everything he did was based on a promise from God. Everything you do is based on a promise from God. And when the Holy Spirit came, Jesus said, now I'm going to refer back to John 16 a few times, when the Holy Spirit came, He said, He's going to reveal to you all things. In that chapter, Jesus said, there are many things that I want to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. And you know why? You know why? Because without the Spirit, you don't get it. Without the Spirit, that's when He speaks in parables. But He no longer speaks in parables when the Spirit has come. So He's speaking now plainly. Can you say plainly? He's speaking plainly. He's speaking clearly to them just in the few days before that the Spirit is going to come. He's giving them a little bit more, you know, and not speaking so much in parables. And they say, oh, now we believe. Oh, do you now believe? Okay. You know, you think you hear. You don't hear. You don't hear what I'm saying. You hear what you're saying. You hear what I'm saying based on the filter of your own experience. Now watch this. You hear what Jesus is saying and the Father is saying, or what a preacher is saying, based on the filter of your own experience. But what changes when you become born again is you now have the living God inside of you who is now interpreting the Word of God. Before that, you were interpreting the Word of God yourself. Now you interpret the Word of God and the promise of God through His Spirit. Because His Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. You have been changed. You are a different person. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You are brand new on the inside. Think that. Say that. I'm brand new on the inside. I am brand new. A new creation. Therefore, that's when He said, I will no longer look at people, 2 Corinthians 5, after the flesh. We talked about this last time. Is that I will no longer view people, including me, including myself, after the flesh. I will no longer look at me after the flesh. And why do we say these things? To keep them in your remembrance, because it's easy to forget them. It's easy to forget them in the deluge of daily living because of our five senses. You know, touch, taste, smell, whatever they are. What are they? Somebody help me. Touch, taste, smell, hear, see. Touch, taste, smell, hear, see. Yeah. Okay. So all of those senses are inundating you with all kinds of information that is contrary to the Word of God in many cases. It's contrary to the Word of God. Here's what's happening. Oh, gosh. Here's what's happening. But the Word of God says, be of good cheer. Cheer up. I've overcome the world. Oh, it doesn't look like it. It looks like the same thing is happening again. And the other thing is, the stuff keeps coming at you day after day after day after day after day. Amen? You can go ahead and say amen, because it's true. He said, the stuff keeps coming at you, Randy, day after day after day after day. It's just like, bam, bam, bam. You know, it's constantly just beating the tar out of you. But the fact is that I'm a new creation. So you've got to beat your head against the Word of God. Is that this is true. Everything I'm seeing, everything I'm experiencing is the lie. The lie is what I live in. The lie is what I live in. It does not reflect the promise of God. So therefore, the promise of God prevails. And that's what we're talking about here in Hebrews 11. That's what we talked about in Romans chapter 4, which we'll look at in a moment. But let me continue with chapter 11 for the moment. Okay, everybody okay? Everybody with me? Okay? All we're talking about is the fact that this world looks like you're not in victory, but faith says you are, and you live in the Holy Spirit. You're a brand new creation. All right? So you're meditating upon the promise. You're meditating upon the truth rather than what is passing away. Your old things are passed away. Everybody say it. Old things are passed away.
All things are passed away.
All things are become new. All right, see? Okay, so here we go. Now faith is the substance. Ah, good, I've got a substance here. Of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. What was that? The 12 spies that went over into the land of Canaan, crossed over. Jacob and Joshua and Caleb went over there, and they were the two guys with the good report. The other 10 guys say, "Oh man, there are giants over there. They'll eat us," you know. And Joshua and Caleb come back. Ah, we're well able to defeat them. Look at the grapes. They carried the grapes on their arms. You know, if you saw your Sunday school book, you know, they had a bunch of grapes carried between two men's shoulders. You know, it was huge. So, I mean, you know, this is the land of milk and honey and grapes. And so all of these things are great. But you know, by it, the elders obtained a good report. So, in other words, they obtained a good report, but they only obtained a minority report. If you're in politics, you know what a minority report is. It's enough people to say, to go against the crowd or the majority, but to have a voice to say, you know what, we don't agree with their report. And that's what this was. It's a minority report. There's only a minority of two. You know, it's less than 20%. And so they're saying, but the elders said, we received your report, but the people are going to prevail, and here we are going to stay in the desert for another 40 years. You know, because we did not believe. They did not enter in because of unbelief or lack of faith, even though there was faith to enter in if they would have entered in. Does that make sense? They would have entered in if they'd listened to Joshua and Caleb, but they changed their, they said, no, we're not going to enter in. And so therefore, they lost out. They stayed in the desert 40 years. All right? For by it, the elders did get a good report. They just didn't act on it. How many of you have a good report today and you have not acted on it, or you're acting against it because of unbelief? Isn't that true? I act many times against a good report that God is good and all things are going for my good, and I act against that because of unbelief, because I believe that the giants were out there. Okay, the giants are big, the giants are mean, and they're going to kill us all, so we're going to stay put. Right? Okay, so by it the elders obtained a good report. So you want to get your good report and you want to walk in it. You want to meditate upon that good report. Okay? Now, I'm going to try not to preach on every verse here. Okay, through faith, we understand. Sorry, I got to stop here. Through faith, we understand. That is cool. Through unbelief, we lack understanding. How's that? Through unbelief, we lack understanding. It's the converse. It's the reverse of that. So unbelief creates a dearth or a lack of understanding. In other words, you don't understand. You have no understanding of the ways of God without faith. So through faith, we do understand. Wow. I get it. I get it. God is good. And though it appears, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Yet will I praise him. Because it appeareth one way, but the truth is that he loves me and he's doing everything on my behalf. And he's given me everything that I might excel and be the highest and the best. Because I'm not counting the world's things. I'm counting what God is doing in me and through me and causing the joy of the Lord to be transforming me and everybody around me into peaceful and joyful beings. Okay, and to keep going. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Otherwise we'd be believing Darwin, right? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. An inward witness. God spoke to his heart. I receive that. I receive that. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch. Remember Enoch from the Old Testament? Enoch was an odd bird. You know? He didn't live long like the other birds. He didn't live till 900 some odd. He only lived to 300 some odd. What was wrong with him? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Where'd he go? Hey, Mom, where's Dad? And he was not found because God had translated him or taking him up. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Enoch walked with God. Remember, that's what it said in the book of Genesis. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He liked being with Enoch so much, he just took him with him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Good works don't please him. Keeping the law doesn't please him. He's happy to have it kept. I mean, you're happy to keep the law mowed. You're happy to keep people from being murdered. Happy to keep people from getting robbed. I mean, that's nice. It's nice stuff. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's only faith that pleases him. Because faith is the relationship. It's not the lack of crime that pleases God. Okay? Lack of crime is not pleasing to God. That's not what he's pleased by. You know, we're glad that crime is in abeyance, but that doesn't please us. What pleases him is the relationship that he gains from between you and me, between him and us. That's where relationship is not by obedience in God to a law. Relationship is walking with Him and doing as He does, not doing something because He told you to do it on a given episode or a given time. All right? He doesn't want you to be task-oriented. He wants you to be motivated by His mercy and His love and the relationship that we have together with Him. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, first of all, believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you remember, we talked about diligence back in last week. I'm talking about 2 Peter chapter 1. It's talking diligence in the knowledge of God. Your diligence in the knowledge of God is that be diligent to make your calling and election sure. That is, that's diligence in the knowledge of God. Come to know Him. Come to know Him. Come to have a relationship with the Father through Christ Jesus, through His Word. And Jesus is saying in John 16, through His Spirit. He's going to take of, Jesus said, He's going to take of mine and He's going to show it to you. Remember He said, there are many things I wanted to share with you, but you cannot bear them now. You couldn't handle it now. You don't have it's like taking a course without the prerequisites. You know, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, I help out some guys with the computer business, and there's a lot of things, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, I don't even know. You know, there's so many acronyms, so many things in the computer. I mean, in networking and hard drives and in network systems. And there's just so much foundation to have. And you know what? That's true in the kingdom of heaven. There is a foundation you must have because you don't know nothing. You just come into this thing like, all you know is about a tree outside and a chair you're sitting on, a carpet in the room. You know, you came to church and that's all you know. Some guy's up front talking about something, but all of a sudden there's a spirit on the inside of you that is lit afire because of something that guy says up front. And that begins to transform you, and it bears a seed, and that seed begins to bear fruit, and all of a sudden you're being transformed and you're being imparted knowledge that you never knew you were going to have. Amen? You begin to receive knowledge just like a download. Right? Paul got a download. He was full of data, and then he got a download from the Holy Spirit. And then that put out that brought the New Testament into existence. That brought every one of his books into existence. He had all the raw data, but he didn't know how to interpret it. But the Holy Spirit brought it in and interpreted it for him. And all of a sudden he began to know what God had done and what He had produced and what He was a part of. Amen? And that's what happens to you. You got to know this. This is what happens to you. Is there is a spirit of the living God. You don't go out and do for God. God does for you. You just receive the knowledge of Him and He is beginning to transform and change you. And when trouble comes, you begin to listen to me. Say, hallelujah, I love you, Lord God. There is nothing that shall by any means hurt me. When Pastor Jim fell off the roof, he wasn't saying, this is the end. Now, his mind might have said that for a moment. But you know what? After that initial moment, he began to say, nothing shall by any means hurt me. Amen? That's what you begin to say. And I know there are people said that, and people that have said that and said that, and you know what? They actually even died of cancer, believing God. Do I know why all those things happen? No. But one thing I do know is that I am going to walk forward with the Word of God, with the promise of God, what? Until I'm dead. I'm going to believe God until I'm dead, whether or not I'm healed ultimately or not. Because the truth is, I know that His promise is healing. But in every occasion, why doesn't somebody get healed? I cannot answer that question, and I'm not going to answer that question. What I'm going to say is that faith alone is how I live. And faith alone, listen, is how you live. Well, I'm not quite sure. Well, no. I understand your brains, but you got to separate. Let the word separate your brains from your spirit. Amen. That's the biggest transformation is separate. Make that separation between soul and spirit, because many people in the kingdom believe that there are three parts rather than two parts. Many of the Christianity believe it's body and soul, and so what the confusion begins to be is that if it's just body and soul, your soul is confused. It doesn't know whether it's born again or not because it still sins. But when you look at the scripture, it says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body, Peter says, be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. See, your spirit, soul, and body. You're not just soul and body. Because soul gets confused, because soul has both parts. Soul is being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. Your mind is being changed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate. It's a proving ground. The mind and your soul is a proving ground for the Word of God and the Spirit of God to demonstrate the transformation that takes place by the knowledge of Him. All right, amen? Now, if you looked at last week's message, talking about that you adding to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge brotherly love, add brotherly kindness, and add all of these things, and all of these things are added to your faith as you're adding to the knowledge of God in you. And if these things be in you and abound, they shall make that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the what? In the knowledge of God. But he who lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You read 2 Peter chapter 1, it'll build you up. That's where you become a partaker of the divine nature. And that's where you have exceeding great and precious promises. And that's Peter the fisherman. What's he know? What's he know? At least some of y'all got a college degree. Y'all might know some. Of course, that probably talked you out of everything you ever knew. All right. Praise the Lord. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and believe that He is a rewarder. You come to God, you believe He is? Okay. And you believe He's a rewarder. Do you believe that? Or He's a beater. Beater of them diligently seek Him. Your flesh, yes. Your flesh is... But the thing is, you want to get rid of your flesh. Your flesh is hindering you. Amen. Your flesh is hindering you. My flesh, it hinders me. It gets in my way. It's just a big old dirty mess. Amen. 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, being warned of God of things not yet seen, like rain. I'm going to cause it to rain upon the earth. You're going to cause it to what? What? How many know that rain had not fallen on the earth? You look, go back to the book of Genesis, a mist went up from the ground, and up until the time of Noah, it had not yet, and it says it had not rained upon the earth. So he don't know what rain is. He knows what mist is, because it keeps you young and vital. I mean, they're all gooey and squishy, and that's how come they live 900 years. You know, they're all, you can imagine giving somebody a hug in the morning? Squish. Because everybody's all wet. It's really strange. So listen, that's why you live a long time, is because you're all wet and moist. So you guys, if y'all just stay in the shower, y'all live 900 years. Just you say, stop using deodorant? Stop using antiperspirant. That's it. There's a recommendation. Chad's experimenting with that right now. Y'all go give him a hug. All right. So now listen. So by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet not seen. And that's weird. Being warned of things not seen. I mean, this is bad enough to be warned of things you have seen. But I mean, to be warned of things you haven't seen and then begin to preach that. Hey, it's going to rain. It's going to what? Then you got to explain that. You don't even know what it is. God's going to destroy the earth, basically. He's going to destroy the earth with a flood. All right? He moved with fear. Oh, no. No, it's not that kind of fear. He moved with fear. Because why? He walked with God. It's like Enoch. He walked with God. He's like you. He walked with God. The fear of God is that God is bigger than anything I know, and He loves me more than anything I know. And I'm so awestruck to be one of His children. And I know that everything that He tells me to do is something that is necessary for me to do. I know that obedience to God is my life. Obedience to God is not to please Him. We read right there. Okay? For by obedience, without obedience, it is impossible to please Him. Oh, did it say that? Got to make sure we read the Scripture properly. For without obedience, it is impossible to please Him. No, that's not what the Scripture said. Verse 6 says this, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So obedience is not pleasing to God, it's faith. And so obedience, what obedience does is appropriate every promise of God. Obedience appropriates every promise of God. He said, understand and have the knowledge of me. So I'll get into the Word, get into His promise. Discuss that with somebody else. Is begin to turn those things over and over and over again with somebody else. You say, what did God say to you today? Let's find out. So let's know. Let's talk together about what God's promise is, even in the midst of our trouble. Amen? Even when it looks like God hasn't come through on whatever it is I believe He was going to come through on, or He said He was going to come through, and He hasn't yet done it yet, because again, Peter's so cool. He says all kinds of neat stuff. He says, God is not slow like men count slowness. But that God, He's just slow. No, He's not. He's not slow because He's lazy. No, I mean, men are slow because why? They're lazy. You know, face it. Men are slow because they're lazy. God is not slow because He's lazy or because He forgot. He's slow with purpose. He's slow because He's holding out for the best. Amen? Woo! Yeah. Praise God. Okay, so God, by faith, Noah, being warned of God by things is not as yet seen, moved with fear, trusting God. Moved with fear, that fear is trust of God. Did you know that? That fear is trust of God rather than men. I will not fear what men will do to me, because I fear God. Fear is trusting God. Listen. I want you to say that. That's a good thing to say. Fear is trust in God. Fear is trust in God. I'll move on in a minute. Fear is trust in God. That's what it is. If you fear God, that means you trust in Him. So he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Because if he hadn't produced an ark, his house would not have been saved. By the which he condemned the world and became heir. Heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So he was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the saving of his house, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now by faith Abraham, when he was called, I'm going to have to move this a little bit. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Why? Because he moved with fear. He trusted God. You know, you're not going to do something based on somebody you don't trust. Huh? So, I've got this little, pray for me, I got this little thing flitting around in front of my eyeball. So, I'm trying to read between it. Anybody ever had one of those? Swimmers, or whatever they call them? You know? And they just got a, what is that? Well, I'm reading around it. Okay? I'm just not... you thought I was slow, as men count slowness. So, listen, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. How many of you like that? You're going out, you're not knowing where you're going. I mean, you're just walking out there, you know. It's like Peter walking out on the water. He didn't know where he was going. He just out on the water looking at Jesus. All of a sudden he looked around, it was the wind and the waves. Oh, uh-oh. Anybody felt like that? You stepped out and all of a sudden, uh-oh. Jesus! So you call him for Jesus. And Jesus stretches out his hand, he picks you up and saves you. Now some of you didn't feel like you were saved, but I guarantee you know what? You're sitting here today, you were saved. There were some things that could have happened to you that didn't happen. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, so he went out not knowing where he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned. That's just like a long trip with nothing happening. Y'all have been one of those? Y'all feel like you've been on one of those for 30 years. Huh? Been on a long trip with nothing happening. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, God's promise, as in a strange country. In other words, he never unpacked his bags. Jim used to tease Janet because when she moved down here, she wasn't all in. And when he moved down, it was like she had boxes still packed for years. It's like, okay, this is temporary. This is a temporary thing. And so he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Well, this is not permanent, and I'm not going to unpack, and I'm not going to relax. Any of y'all like that? I mean, you're kind of following God, but you're not relaxed. God says, relax. Relax. All right? It's important to relax. You know, praise and worship will relax you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise and worship. Praise and worship will relax you. So by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, and with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him with the same promise. So in other words, that's three generations were traveling out there in the desert. Three generations traveling out there, sojourning, not knowing where they're going. Man alive. I mean, Abraham went through it. He died not having seen it. Amen? And some of y'all are afraid you're going to die without having seen the promise. You know what? It's okay. You know what? It's okay. Because God just take you home like Enoch. God took Abraham home. Did Abraham see the end of the promise? He saw part of it. He saw Isaac. But he saw Isaac bear two sons. Now, you know, that's pretty much it. This is not the sand of the sea. This is not the sand of the sea. Two guys. You know. Two grandsons, you know. And one of his sons was a hiccup, of course, you know. And we're still dealing with that hiccup till today, right? Amen. Abraham, I wish you'd operated by faith instead of listening to your wife. You know? I mean, one time you listen to your wife, it's okay. One time you listen to your wife, it's not okay. You just got to have a God. Amen? I mean, one time she says, here, take my handmaid, Hagar, and have your promise. Quit bugging me about it. Quit bugging me about this promise. You know? Sarah was still like, here. You think you're going to have a baby? You think you and me are going to have a baby? Here, take this young girl. She can have a baby. Well, that was a mess up. That was not a good thing. That was not a smart thing, was it? But then on the other hand, once she tells him to get rid of Ishmael, that was a good thing. So that one she heard God. The other one she didn't hear God. So you know what? You're just going to have to, as a man, you're going to have to hear God yourself. As a woman, if your husband's not hearing God, you're going to have to hear God. If you're married to a husband who's not hearing God, you're just going to have to hear God, and then let him tell you exactly how to live with that man. Amen. What am I talking about? Faith, by faith, by faith. It is impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. All right? Okay, so look here. I'm going to read that verse again. For by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, who were the heirs with him of the same promise. Your sons are heirs of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So listen. So even though you don't appear to get the promise, understand that you're not looking for a city here, right? You're not looking for the end of the promise here in this life. You're looking for the end of the promise, really, number one, from the heart, from your heart. That is the indwelling of the Spirit of God that Jesus actually talked about, is that the Spirit is going to come and dwell in you. That's the promise. All right? That's the promise. So the promise begins to take place in you, and you begin to live in heaven. You begin to have a relationship with the living God in heaven daily, monthly, hourly, yearly. You begin to have that relationship with God at all times. All right? For he looked for a city. That's you. I'm looking for a city. Good song. Looking for a city. But we're not looking for a city in like, we're just hoping for heaven. No, the city is coming to dwell in you, isn't it? If I'm singing that song by old Jimmy Swaggart or John Cook, I'm looking for a city, but I'm not looking for a city after I'm dead. I'm looking for a city right now. Abraham was looking for a city right now. I'm looking for a city right now. You know what? It's coming to pass in me. Do you know the city's coming to pass in you, R.E.? Huh? It's happening right now. It's happening right now because you're trusting God. Wow, that's loud out there. Looking for a city who's built with foundations. And see, that's the problem. You're trying to get here. Close that door, brother. Looking for a city with foundation whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God. That's a foundation. I've got the foundation. How many know you've got a foundation? Yep, I do. It's me. All right. Through faith, Sarah had faith. Listen to this. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you remember the story? That God came in as three angels walked in to the camp and heard and told Abraham, said, you're going to have a child. Your wife is going to, within the time of having children, 9 months, your wife, by this time next year, your wife's going to be nursing a child. And of course, she was in the tent and she goes, she giggles. And all of a sudden, the guy catches her on it. Said, Mrs. Abraham, I noticed you were laughing when I said that. He said, I didn't laugh. Oh, but you did laugh. You did. But see, God spoke to her, and by that promise, she obtained faith to believe. So therefore, sprang there even of one that is, and him as good as dead, that's Abraham. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So in other words, there he became the father of many nations. Abraham became the father of many nations. Now verse 13 says, these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That is, you see one child, which is the potential for the stars of the sea promise, but you only got one. Well, I hope he doesn't get killed, I only got one. Hope he didn't die off before he bears some seed. So these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Isn't that you? You maybe see the promise afar off, but you fear God, that you have embraced them. You were persuaded of the promise, and you embraced the promise, and confessed. Not only that, but you confessed the promise. You told somebody else, big dummy. You actually told somebody what you were thinking. You actually told somebody you believed. It's like Noah. Noah had no friends. At the end of that thing. I mean, he had no friends. He was telling everybody, yeah, it's raining, gonna come rain, it's gonna come flood, and I'm building this big old boat out here in the middle of my backyard, you know. And he was persuaded of it, he embraced it, and he confessed it. And everybody was going like, uh-uh, this guy's a nut. So Noah had no friends. Abraham probably had very few. I mean, all of his old guy friends were going like, you crazy old man. But we confessed, we were persuaded of God's promise. Listen, do you know what happened when you believed God's promise? It came to pass. When you believed God's promise, persuaded of it, embraced it, and confessed it, it came to pass. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Same thing with Jesus when he says, is that I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you. Old things will be passed away. All things will become new. I'm going to breathe on you, and the Spirit of the living God is going to come and dwell on the inside of you. And you're going to hear His Spirit. His Spirit is going to speak to you, and He's going to show you things to come. And He's going to declare to you the kingdom of heaven so that you may declare it upon the earth, and so you can declare it to your brother, so to somebody else. So somebody else will make it onto the ark. Somebody else will make it to the other side. Amen? You know what? Making it to the other side is what happens when you declare to somebody the gospel. There's a big storm going on, but when Jesus is in your boat, you're going to make it to the other side. So they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And listen, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. My life is not here. My life does not consist in the abundance of things obtained upon this existence. Remember, okay, I'm going to say that one more time. And they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For that they that say such things, weird things, crazy things, declare plainly by their speech that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country where they came out of, oh, looking for the leeks and the onions, trying to go back to Egypt, trying to go back to Haran, trying to go back to Ur of the Chaldees, trying to go back to your old life before you believed. And truly, had they been mindful of that country, desirous of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up His only begotten Son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called. Here comes your seed, and you're going to sacrifice your seed. Crazy old man. 19 said, accounting that God was able to raise Him up even from the dead, from where also He received Him in a figure. See, same way he got Him from the dead, His dead loins. He couldn't even have a baby, so He got Him from the dead to begin with. And so if God killed Him, could He just as well raised Him up again from the dead? That's what He's talking about. And you remember the story. He said when they were at the bottom, at the foot of the mountain, me and the boy are going to go worship and we'll return to you. Abraham knew what he was up to. He was going to go up there and kill that kid. And the kid wasn't a kid, by the way. He was a man strong enough to do something about it. Strong enough to do something about the old man trying to bind him up. But you know what? Isaac believed God too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stop right there in there. I'm going to run over here one thing real quick. Turn over to Romans chapter 4 for a minute. Yeah, Chad, come on up here. Romans chapter 4. What was, shall we say, then that Abraham, our father, as to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has somewhat to glory in, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, attributed to him, for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward reckoned of grace. Not of grace, but of debt. So if you work, there's a debt that somebody owes you. So there's no grace involved if you are working. You get paid. But to him that worketh not, but believes on him, faith pleases God, that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for right standing with God. Even David also describes the happiness, the blessedness of the man to whom God does not attribute sin. Excuse me. To whom God, I'm reading some other scripture somewhere. David also describes the happiness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. That's a happy man. I'm a happy man because God attributed to me righteousness and I didn't even do anything. I didn't work, but he worked. He did all the work. By faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Father, we magnify you. We exalt you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for ministering this word of life to every person's spirit here today. That the glory of God made manifest in them is shown forth by faith, which is the fear of God, which is the trust of God in every circumstance or situation. Father, even though it looks like it hasn't happened or it hasn't happened yet, I'm still sojourning in the land of promise, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's me. That's who I am. And I'm indwelt by your Spirit. And you are showing me things to come. So I give you praise and glory and honor and love you with all of my heart. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. All right. I love you all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, Margaret. That's you? Come here. Come close. Since you're here. Would you do me a favor? Would you talk about Dad a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, stand close to me. Cause...
Okay. Dad's doing great. I saw him Friday, and he's wearing his neck brace and his back brace still. The doctor said that he should be able to take off the neck brace soon, and he should be able to drive soon, but he still needs to take it easy. As you know, my dad likes to do more than he should, but he's doing really great. He just needs to keep resting, and he should be amazing, you know, sooner than later. So,
yeah. Awesome. Praise God. Awesome. Cool.
Yes.
Is Carl still there?
Yes.
Till when?
Carl will be at 4 church. She'll be here till tomorrow.
Okay, cool, great.
How's your mom?
She's doing good. It's been good to have her family.